Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Thanks for finding us wherever you consume podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, of course, always on the Golf Newsnet platform at golfnewsnet.com. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach, the seaside golf capital of the world. He's Darren Bunch in California. Enough said. You can find us on social media. You should know this by now as we approach our 100th episode. Darren at Getaways Golf on Twitter and at Golf Getaways on Instagram. Me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, literally everywhere else in the universe. I've gotten kind of used to saying that, Darren, and I like the way it sounds.
I like it.
But this is great. We're excited. Episodes 98 and then 99 coming up of Talking Golf Getaways. Who would have thunk it?
Oh, man. We are on a roll, I guess is what you say. We've got Masters Week, and we're talking with Scott Michaud, sports columnist and golf writer for the Augusta Chronicle. Then we've got a couple more weeks that are coming up that are pretty great for people to look for. Our 100th show, and actually show 101 after that, are with Matt Ginella from Golf Channel. And then we've got the PGA Tour, Zach Blair, the following week. So we've got plenty of golf to talk about over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and great. Obviously, Matt was generous in spades to come on and do the 100th episode. Zach was a great find by you, and people are going to be really interested in listening to that too. And of course, Masters Week. And personally, there's only two people that I would ever talk to about this week. One of them is our good friend John Patrick from the Augusta Golf Show, and the other is one of the guys who I think is one of the truly great writers, not just on golf, but about all things. Actually, and that, of course, would be Scott Michaud. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Two Under Apparel. You've heard us talk about it, home of the world famous Joey Pouch. This is the best, I say that with a capital B, the best underwear you will wear every day, and you will wear it if we have to come to your house and make you wear it. It's the perfect mix of fit, comfort, hashtag asset management. Use your imagination. Visit twounder.com. That's the number 2UNDR.com. Use the promo code GNN20 and you'll get 20% off. So do that now. You can thank Darren and I later.
I'm actually wearing my 2Under while we record, Mitch, for added support.
And I am too. I think people at whoever's listening to this just got a lot more comfortable listening. And I have to correct myself because we're about to speak to a great writer who obviously is very concerned about grammar. And I said, you can thank Darren and I later, and it should be Darren and me later, of course. So I don't want to start with any mistakes on the grammatical edge, but this, as Darren and I both said, this is really an opportunity for us because there's so much written about Augusta and about Masters Week, as we all know. Everybody who plays really starts dialing in now, and to have Scott on the show with us is just a really great thing and something we're both grateful for. You can find him as we get started on Twitter, amazingly, at Scott Michaud. And his last name, I'll spell it for him, Scott, so you don't have to do it. M-I-C-H-A-U-X. There's your French lesson for the day. You can read his terrific features on all things sports at AugustaChronicle.com. You can go to Augusta.com for all things Masters. And for my money, you won't find anyone more dialed in at the keyboard than Scott is. Scott, thanks for giving us some of your precious time. Obviously, this is ridiculously busy time. I'm sure you're not sleeping at all, but thanks for being with us and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is sort of the calm before the storm here. We're in between our work on all our preview stuff and just waiting for the week to arrive.
We've been called a lot of things, but calm before the storm has never been on that list. So thanks. That's kind of historic. Let's start, if we can, before we get into the Augusta and Masters meet, if you will. You started at the Augusta Chronicle in 2001. Lead us up to that point. Tell us a little bit about how your newspaper career ended up at one of the iconic spots in all of golfdom.
Well, I started years ago. I went to Virginia and I bounced around a bunch of papers up in Virginia covering everything from, you know, colleges to minor league baseball to preps to working on the desk and layout. And I did that at a few different papers before I got back into writing in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I was working the desk there, and our NFL guy moved back into the office as our columnist. So they sent me down to cover the Carolina Panthers, and golf was thrown into the mix when Helen Ross, who used to work for PGAtour.com, left Greensboro to go to the PGA Tour, and nobody else wanted the beat. So I said, oh, ooh, please me, and took that job. And the first golf tournament I ever covered was the 1997 Masters, which turned out to be kind of significant.
Holy cow.
Exactly. So, and I was,
nobody else wanted that beat for real.
For real. Yeah. Everybody else was satisfied covering North Carolina Tar Heels and all the other stuff, there. So I just swooped in and took it and, was, you know, thankful I did, because I don't think I've ever been more comfortable covering anything, than I have golf. It's probably the one thing that I at least understand the emotions of the guys going through it. Even if you're not a good golfer, you can at least understand what those guys are going through. You might not if you're not a football player or a baseball player or something. But golf, I think we can all sort of identify with what those guys try to do at a higher level than we can. And so I just loved it. And I ended up in Augusta because my wife took a job down in Georgia at Atlanta. And that's how I ended up going to Augusta in 2001.
So was that, once you made that decision to come down, and it's turned into everything at the Chronicle and Augusta.com and where it is now, that must have been kind of a seminal moment to leave everything else. You still write about all sports, so you get involved in other stories too, but just to have the word Augusta, where you were and where you're putting in your hours, that for a golfer, that had to be a special moment.
Here's the big difference. Before I came to Augusta, I would, you know, the big event every year for me was the GGO, the Greater Greensboro Open. I believe it was sponsored by Kmart at the time when I was covering it. And I would have to go to Florida and do all our preview section stuff for that. And when I'd go there, I'd usually go, you know, I went to the Players Championship, and I would have to ask guys the first question, are you going to play in Greensboro this year? I've never had to ask that question doing the preview section for the Chronicle. It was like a weight lifted off to your chest, because I would go like 0 for 20 sometimes with guys trying to get them to go to Greensboro. But
when were you at the GGO?
I was doing it from 1997 to 2001.
Okay, because our paths would have crossed. When I was living in L.A. and playing in a lot of charity events, celebrity events, I was acting at the time. And the GGO was the tournament that I came to play in Carolina, having never really been in Carolina. This would have been about 1984, 85. And that led me down the path to literally where I am now in Myrtle Beach. So I have a very fond spot in my heart for the GGO.
Did you ever compete at the new version of the Bob Hope Clam Bake that was over in Winston-Salem?
Yeah. You mean the Bing Crosby Clam Bake?
The Bing Crosby, yes.
All 16 years.
I think so, because I was your cart room attendant one time when you came down for that. I was moonlighting while working in Winston-Salem on the desk at night. I was moonlighting as a cart room attendant so I could play free golf over there, Bermuda Run, in my spare time. And I remember you from that. And I also remember Oprah was there one time because Spellman was playing in it.
She was. I played with Stedman a bunch during that time.
Stedman, not Spellman.
Stedman. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, the connections. The connections of golf.
It's incredible. I just wish I had been able to walk down that. I probably did. I probably talked to you. It's not like, you know.
You did. I remember taking your bag out of the cart because you were a celebrity.
Thank you.
You probably big timed him like you did the first time you met me.
No, you're the only person I've ever done that to.
All right. Scott, let's move toward Augusta and talking a little bit about it. We kind of want your perspective of working there year round and what Augusta is like in the off season. You know, it seems like everything, I'm guessing 51 weeks out of the year, everything builds toward that 1 week. And what's that like being a guy who works there?
Well, it is. The Masters is obviously the franchise for Augusta. It's put the town on the map. But I think if anybody's ever been there, they can realize that Augusta is just a normal American town. I mean, you drive down Washington Road, which is a street that is in every city in America with every car dealership and restaurant and strip mall on it to get to this little slice of heaven where they have a golf tournament. So Augusta really is just a regular American town. And the rest of the year, people care about the Georgia Bulldogs and the South Carolina Gamecocks and the Clemson Tigers and the Atlanta Braves. So, you know, we're just like everybody else. We just happen to have this incredible event every year where the whole world looks at us.
And during the event, is it purely insane? I mean, I have not been to the Masters, but I've been to the event at Pebble Beach. I've been to the Waste Management in Phoenix. I've seen what not only happens at those golf courses, but what happens at the, you know, just the surrounding infrastructure. I mean, is the Masters as insane as I assume it would be?
Well, it certainly does create an unbelievable vibe around there. Half the town moves out for the week because all the children are on spring break, which coincides with the Masters every year. And they either rent their house to make some extra cash and go out, go down to Florida to get away from it, or they just embrace it and try to be a part of it. And hopefully they're lucky enough to have some badges to the event. So, but it really does take over the town for a week. Everywhere you go, you can't get in the restaurants, you can't get in the clubs, you can't do much of anything without running into golf people everywhere.
I have been able, lucky enough to be there a number of years in a row, and I will see you in just a few short hours on Wednesday in the press building, the new press building, which is like a hotel. Do you sleep there? Do you just have a room there?
I like the fact they give us a locker downstairs with your name on it. And it really is like the Ritz-Carlton of media centers.
but I also know that the stories, in terms of the preparation, you talked about preparing for this and doing preview work. And I've already read a bunch of great articles. And for those of you listening, you can do that if you go to Augusta.com and pretty much read about everybody. And Scott does such great work of digging stories that you might not find. Some of them are pretty obvious, some of them not so obvious. But the craziness in terms of what your workload has to be for the, I would think, the month probably leading up to Augusta, and certainly the week before it. Talk to us a little bit about the day-to-day of that process of getting what you want, the story that you see, or do you work with the editors? Do they give you ideas? Do you follow their ideas? Or do you say, here's, because now, come on, you're an icon. Let's face it. Do you just go to them and say, okay, here's my list?
Well, actually, I like to think of myself as sort of the number two guy there. David Weston, who's been my colleague and gone on all these trips to Florida with me for the last 18 years, this is his 40th Masters, and he has been writing the leads for the Chronicle, I believe, since Fuzzy Zeller won in 79.
Wow.
It's pretty phenomenal what he's done and what he's known, because he's grew up in Augusta, and he was a caddy at Augusta National for a couple of years. When they were looking to try to fill some of their spots, he was writing for the newspaper and working as a caddy at Augusta National. So he knows things there that I will never learn. It's really amazing what he does. And our editor, you know, my editor, John Boyette, has been working for the Chronicle since 1986. So he is, you know, flush with all of the history. I mean, if I can't find the media guide, I call him up because he'll know the date and who won and what score and everything. It's like an encyclopedia. So these people really know what they're doing. We've got a staff that's been doing this for decades. So it's kind of hard to try to come up with something new every year when you cover it to the extent that we do, to try to make it fresh and keep it fresh. So we do have to sort of brainstorm. The day after the tournament is when we start. David and I sit down in his house over breakfast and start trying to write down the things that happened this week so that we don't forget them when it comes around next year, because there's so many little things that go on that by the time an entire golf season rolls around, you've forgotten half of it. Mm-hmm. So we try to make sure that we don't do that by marking things down and then significant stats or accomplishments by certain players, so that the next year when it comes around, you know, we have that little list to look at going, oh yeah, remember the guy that had 8 birdies in a row. So it really starts the day after the Masters ends. And for me, the biggest project is trying to get that defending champion to sit down and sort of invite us into a little piece of his life so that we can try to do our big project on him, which is our primary cover piece in our preview section.
Have you done that already? Have you had time with Sergio, or does that happen now?
No, I did that already. We try to do it as soon as we can, early in the year, and get that kind of stuff done so that they're not so busy. Because once it starts getting closer to the tournament, nobody wants to sit down and talk about last year. They're all right, looking forward to this next year. So I went actually down in February to Austin and talked to him there and his wife and her family. And so, you know, they were great. It was a wonderful conversation. He was relaxed. They basically had settled down in Austin for the rest of this year until they had their baby, because they wanted to make sure it was born here in an environment where they knew they would be comfortable and safe. So so I didn't get to go to Spain with him, but over the years I've gotten to go to Argentina and Australia and South Africa, chasing down Masters winners, and that's really one of the highlights of what I get to do.
So that decision back in Greensboro to say, me, give me the golf beat, it's turned out pretty well.
It has. It's taken me to every continent so far that golf has played on. So, I never would have expected that when I was, laying out the front page of the Greensboro News and Record.
Nice. Well, certainly the preparation or the lead up to the tournament this year has helped you a great deal in writing, and just coming up with stories for the preview and what the Masters is going to be like. I mean, it's been an insane run the past 4, 5, 6 weeks on the PGA Tour, and I know you've covered a few of those events as well. So just, I mean, tell us about the state of the PGA Tour in your mind as we're coming into the Masters, and obviously it starts with Tiger, but Phil and Rory and all these guys who are just really on form right now.
I know every year it seems like the top guys start to ratchet everything up as they head towards April. But this year is almost like it's on steroids. I mean, when you've got Phil Mickelson winning at age 47 and then Rory, with the way he won at Bay Hill and Paul Casey, who's been a top 6 finisher at Augusta the last 3 years, winning and
Bubba.
And Bubba. I mean, yeah. Bubba was pretty much gone. We'd all ruled him out. In fact, he was not going to be one of our preview stories for the section. We do about a third of the field of little profiles on these guys before the tournament every year. And Bubba was so far off the radar in January when we were having our draft to get those players that he didn't even make it. And now he's probably the favorite, right, in my opinion, the way he's playing right now. So, of course, we did write about Bubba. I think, when you've got former champions playing like Phil and Bubba and Tiger Woods, and then you've got all of these best guys who don't have a green jacket like Rory and Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas and all of those guys playing where they're playing, it just makes for an incredible hype and buildup as you get to Augusta. And Tiger is the real generator, because all of these guys want a chance to compete with him there at the top of his game.
Well, and you didn't even mention in all of that. It's funny. I'm in a golf majors pool.
Jordan Spieth?
A friend of mine and I were talking about Jordan the other day, and this guy who runs the pool puts guys in groups. And I said, well, Jordan Spieth has to be in Group A. And my buddy is like, well, when's the last time he did anything? And I go, I don't care when the last time he did anything was. The dude has never finished worse than 11th in the Masters, and he's won it. You know, he's won three of the four majors now. Don't you have to consider that guy to be a favorite to win anywhere he plays?
Absolutely, you do. And he is on my list of five favorites when I have to do that thing, for the simple reason that you just said. Until that guy does not play in one of the last two groups on a Sunday of the Masters, he's a favorite. There's something about that place. He can play miserably going into it, but he drives that car down Magnolia Lane, and whatever magic comes into his putter and his iron play shows up. He'll be there. He'll be a factor. I would not discount him despite his form.
What's a day like covering the event for you? I mean, what kind of content are you doing on a daily basis during the actual tournament? And for our listeners out there who might follow you, how much are you going to be tweeting?
I'll be tweeting a lot, and it'll be all golf at that time. And it's the stuff I do before the tournament starts are kind of things I've been working on when we go down to Florida, some sort of takeout pieces, you know, like the guys going for the Grand Slams this year, and fan behavior and various and sundry pieces like that, that we try to get and roll out as the tournament before it starts. So I'm really busy the first few days attending to all of that kind of stuff and finishing it all up and trying to get more quotes from guys that I don't get to enjoy going out on the golf course. So my favorite day is Thursday, because all of the preparation is over and you're now concentrating on the here and now like everybody else. And that's when I really get to enjoy covering the tournament and going out and walking and following guys and trying to find stories rather than, you know, trying to finish stories that I've already started working on.
That all sounds great, and it makes total sense to me what you're talking about being able to go out and enjoy it. I keep saying, and I know Darren hasn't been there, and hopefully he'll get there maybe next year. But until you've been there and actually gotten a chance to go out and walk and be there as a spectator and appreciate what that place is all about, there's no way you can actually feel it. I don't care how good your TV is. And I don't care about anything else, but until you're walking those grounds, it's a different planet as far as I'm concerned.
It really is. And I what I miss most from being in Augusta is before I was there and was so busy on Wednesday trying to get all those last little pieces put together before the tournament starts. And then we have a golf writers banquet on Wednesday night that you have to race out to. I used to love going out on Wednesday afternoon while everybody is at the par three tournament, watching that go on. And the course is relatively empty compared to the rest of the week. And to walk down at Amen Corner as it's approaching dusk on a Wednesday night, if any of your patrons who are listening have tickets for Wednesday's practice round, that's my advice to you. Go to the par three early, but late, walk down through Amen Corner and just sort of walk around that course, and you really sort of feel the ghosts.
It's funny because that's exactly the day I'm there every year, and it's exactly what I do. So have you been following me?
Well, you probably
somebody
you
stalking.
Probably were right next to me in those years, because I just loved doing that. And I can't anymore because I'm just so busy that day. And that's the one thing I really miss about being being in Augusta. You're just too busy.
Yeah. Well, I'll do it for you this year. And I'd say I'd send you pictures from the cell phone, but I can't. So. Oh, you know what? That's a question. I guess that's a Masters decision. Obviously, people can now take their cell phones out at PGA Tour events, but the no cell phone rule, I assume, still holds at Augusta.
That will hold probably from here to eternity. And I tell you what, I don't always like how militant they are in policing it and how strict they are with their rules about it. But when I went down to Tampa this year and Tiger Woods was, playing out there, and you'd walk inside the ropes, and as you walk down the ropes, literally every arm and cell phone was outstretched in front of you, right, trying to get these pictures of Tiger. And it was at that moment that I really appreciated the no cell phone rule at Augusta National, because I think it turns it into one of the last communal events. You're there, you're present, you're in the moment. You're yep. not looking at anything else. There's no distractions. You're just there being with other people who are also there at the same time. And no place else in the world is like that anymore.
Yeah, well said. I'm with you. All right, before we let you go, just one kind of quick question. Anything we mentioned the course and how spectacular and what an otherworldly experience it is. Anything about the course you think we should know about beforehand in terms of there's no major changes, I don't think, but anything you want to tell our listeners that they could be looking for as they watch the proceedings get underway on Thursday?
Well, there aren't going to be any major changes to the course this year. I think we're going to start seeing that in the next couple of years with the new chairman, Fred Ridley. That's more his bailiwick than it was Billy Payne's. And I think you'll see some changes to the fifth hole and possibly the 13th, though I'm not certain that that's where they're going to go. But I think the things that people might enjoy seeing this year is there may be some color again. We did have an actual sort of winter this year in Georgia. I mean, it wasn't too harsh, but it was colder for longer, which means that the azaleas didn't start blooming in January. So I think there's a chance that we might actually have some azaleas in bloom this time, which will make it look like the Masters in the past, because the last few years have been almost colorless.
Yeah. I'd forgotten. We had John Patrick on the show last year, and I'd forgotten. We had a whole conversation about how there were no azaleas, and yeah, that will be spectacular because especially as TVs get better and better for those of us who aren't there, that color can really just be mind-blowing sometimes.
It really is. I mean, especially the 13th hole, it's just about the most beautiful place you'll ever stand to watch golf, to see all that color splashed along the banks and in the trees as those players walk by is spectacular. And last year, there was none of it.
Scott, one last thing from me. Do you have a hole or a spot out there that you like to watch golf that maybe people wouldn't think about? I mean, everybody knows about Amen Corner. Everybody knows about the par fives. Is there a secret spot that you kind of retreat to out there that you like to watch and get a good vantage point from?
Well, there are not a lot of secrets anymore about Augusta. People tend to figure those things out. The places I like to sort of settle in here and there is I like to go behind the third green and the fourth tee because you can sort of pay attention to the action on two behind you and then just, you know, walk 50 yards through the trees and be there and watch guys play the third green and watch them tee and play most of the fourth hole from that vantage point. That's a nice one. I always love heading down into Amen Corner, of course, and the 16th hole. If you get over there, you know, that's become a spectacular place to watch, especially during the practice rounds when guys are skipping balls. That's the most fun practice round place to go hang out. But I would tell people, I would suggest trying to get over to the fifth hole. That's probably where you're going to get as close as you can without having a lot of obstruction along the ropes. If you get over to that green, because not a lot of people make it that far. They're so busy going to the other hotspots that they miss that hole. So I think if there is a secret, maybe it's getting out to the fifth hole.
Really good advice. And there's people who are listening who will actually be able to get there. And a lot of people, many, many, most of them who will not. And I think all of us, whether we've been able to be there or not, are grateful for your thoughts and your ideas and your insights into all of it. I mean, that's what certainly brings it close to home. We can watch it, but then when we get to read people like you and others, but you've just done such a great job of giving everybody that layer of insight that they wouldn't ordinarily have. So thanks for spending some time with us. As you said, the calm before the storm. I hope you're prepared. I hope you've eaten enough. I hope you've slept enough. But we're grateful for you being with us, and we look forward to doing the Emergency 9. Darren, this has been fun. Scott, you're great, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. I look forward to seeing you there next week.
And as always, you can find Scott on Twitter at Scott Michaux, MichaUx. And we always have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. Follow us on social media, rate us on iTunes, help us spread the word about the best in golf travel.
It is April. It is Augusta. It's the best time of year. It's a dream for all of us to be able to be there. Tom Petty had a dream, too. We hope you have them as well. Thanks for being with us. So long.